Quite a revelation that I have to unpack this morning. I'm going to try my best. I want to ask you a question, which I think I already know the answer to. Have you ever been disappointed in your life? Sure, we all have. Look at that guy. I've looked like that many times, let me tell you. We've all been disappointed, either by life's circumstances, by other people. We've even been disappointed because of our own actions. I want to give you a definition that I found in Webster's Dictionary. And it says this, in part, disappointment is to fail to satisfy the hope, the desire, or the expectation of something. For instance, you hope that something's going to happen. You desire that something's going to come about. You expect something to happen, and it doesn't happen. And what happens? You're disappointed. Everyone's experienced it. It's not new. The question is, how do we deal with our disappointments? Life is full of disappointments. Now, unless we deal with our disappointments in the right way, I believe it could lead to other things in a progressive way. What do I mean by that? If we stay in our disappointment, a lot of times we become discouraged. We could become depressed. We could become disillusioned. We could lose a zeal to press on in our goals in life because we'll rest in that disappointment and we'll reside there. And that's not a good place to be, and I want to talk about that in a little while. You see, as I've already said, we have all been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. So, perhaps you've been disappointed where you auditioned for a job and you didn't get it. Or perhaps you thought you should have got a promotion and somebody else got it over you. You became disappointed. Or maybe you applied for a school and your application went in, but you got a letter that you were not accepted, and you were disappointed. Maybe if you're into sports, my grandson's here, though he's made every team he's tried out for. The kid's a beast, that's all I have to say. But maybe you tried out for a team, a track team. Somebody, a young girl just this morning said she tried out for a track team in her school, and it didn't work out. You become disappointed. Or how about this? You put your bid in for the house that you see yourself living in. You can see your studio, your master bedroom. It's all laid out. And then what happens? Somebody outbids you, and they're living your dream in that house. And you become disappointed. Listen, what it says up there on the screen is reality. Life is filled with disappointments. The real question is, how are we going to deal with those disappointments when they come our way? You know, most disappointments, I'm not saying all of them, most disappointments come as a result of other people disappointing us. It has to do with human relationships. And I want to tell you, oftentimes we disappoint ourselves by our own actions and the way we have behaved. And those sometimes could be the most painful. And I say, what I really appreciate, what Trudy just read from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, is the honesty of Paul, the transparency of his testimony in that scripture that was read. Listen, this guy experienced shipwrecks and beatings and imprisonment. He did this all for the sake of the gospel, and yet, in a transparent moment, as he penned this epistle, he says this: the very things I should do, I don't. And the very things I don't do, I should be doing. And I'm thankful that here, this pillar of the church, this person that has written most of the New Testament, tells you that he's human, that he's fallible, And I want to tell you, that's what attracted me so much to the Christian faith. That as I read the book of Acts and as I read the epistles, people like Peter and others, these were everyday human people who took hold of faith, and yet they messed up. I don't know about you. Have you ever messed up in your life? Yeah. Yeah, we've all messed up in our lives, and we know what that's like. And I want to tell you, there it is. Being a Christian doesn't mean we are not going to struggle. Struggle with other people, struggle with our own behavior, struggle with decisions that we make in our lives. Who knows our disappointments more than we do? Yeah, that's the answer. God, maybe that's the next slide there. God knows our disappointments. God knows everything about us. So we're not the only ones that are aware. And many times our disappointments, we don't convey them to other people. We keep them hidden in the recesses of our lives, and we walk around and they're buried somewhere. But I want to tell you, God knows. God knows our struggles. He knows our struggles with something, a circumstance, a situation, our struggles with other people, and he even knows the struggles that we have within ourselves. God knows our disappointments. The Bible says that he knows every hair that's on our heads. Now, for me, he has a little less counting to do. He even knows the ones that fell out. The Bible says he even knows when a sparrow falls. When nobody else knows, a little sparrow falls in a forest, God knows when that sparrow falls to the ground. So what does that tell me? That tells me we're never alone in our disappointments. That God, even if our best friend abandons us, God never will, and God will always be there. Whether we choose to share them with others or not, God knows. But for the purpose of this message, I want to talk a little bit about the human interaction. Because many of our disappointments, yes, they occur because of circumstances, but oftentimes they evolve or they begin to show up when we're dealing with other people. And so I want to talk a little bit about disappointment caused by others, by people. If you don't know this already, and for some of you, this may be a tremendous revelation. People are imperfect beings. Well, and I don't know if you knew that. And once you understand that hypothesis, that we are all fallible, that we're all imperfect, then we could move on to an understanding that each and every one of us are capable of disappointing God, disappointing others, and disappointing ourselves. Once we understand that. There's only one perfect person that walked this earth, and he's not standing in this pulpit, and it's neither of you. It's Jesus Christ. And so let's look at things from that perspective. That's one of the main reasons my wife always tells me, she always says, honey, stay focused on God. Stay focused on God, because you get disappointed. Like I was disappointed the Yankees didn't make it to the World Series. Okay, so I was in depression, and I was grieving, and my wife says, get over it. I mean, Houston should not have been in that World Series. I don't care what anybody says. Yankees all the way. But I was disappointed, and my wife says, come on, focus on God. Why? Why is she telling me to focus on God? Because she knows that God is true and trustworthy, and that God can be trusted, and that you can't always trust your favorite athletic team, and you can't always trust people that are around you. And by the way, I'm not suggesting that we not trust anybody, because there's a plethora of individuals that I trust with my life. But we must come to a place to understand that people are not perfect. And guess what, folks? I know this is a real revelation. You are people, and so am I. We're people. Now look what 2 Peter says, 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you. Now, that speaks loud and clear to me, because sometimes I could be a very impatient person. But if God is patient with us, I guess what God is asking, then why don't we extend that patience with others when we're challenged? I recently heard Joyce Meyer. She's a TV evangelist. She's written a lot of self-help books and so forth. And listen what she said. I just saw this the other day. She said, "We always want people to do the right thing, but when it comes to ourselves, we want people to understand why we don't." So we expect people to do the right thing, but when we don't do the right thing, we have an excuse for it. Why we didn't do the right thing. Remember what Paul said, the very things I should do, I don't. The very things I don't do, I should be doing. We look through these rose-colored glasses that will always provide us why, with a reason why we did what we did. But when it comes to others, we take those rose-colored glasses off. Listen, the Bible says this clearly in many places. Jesus loves people, all people, and therefore he challenges us to love people in return. So if we receive his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, his love, then we're to extend that same grace, mercy, forgiveness, and love toward others. Now, part of life is this reality. People will fail us. People will disappoint us, but guess what? We will fail others, and we too will disappoint others. Fallibility is just part of the human condition, and Paul, in this epistle, raises that up for our awareness that we're all fallible, whether we like it or not. We will disappoint others, and others will disappoint us. But I want to tell you, when we leave that disappointment state of being to ferment, it progresses and it leads to something worse if we don't deal with it right away. We have to be realistic, folks, about our hopes and our desires and our expectations. Let me give you an example. I'm a get-to-the-airport 3 hours early guy. I'm a fanatic about that, being on time. And when someone causes me to be late, I'm not going to mention, I go crazy. It's a sickness, really. I mean, I got to be at the doctor's office before he gets there. And so I get to the airport, my precious time, I gave up to be there 3 hours early, and then I look at the board and it says the flight is delayed 3 hours. I'm not only disappointed, I'm outraged. But it gets worse than that. Sitting next to me is a guy who starts preaching. He says, "You know why this flight is late? Because airlines are greedy. They want to put a warm body in every seat, and they'll wait to fill that plane." I know that's not true. So he goes on and on to explain why we're all suffering this delay. And finally, I say, "Okay, pal. Part of my disappointment is because the airline is greedy. Enough. And part of it is due because of my own personality, because I am so crazy about being on time all the time. So I have to take responsibility. Why? I'm losing my cool while I'm sitting at JFK. But I want to tell you, in the grand scheme of things, that delay was minor in my life. And we must pick off those minor disappointments that we all experience. And I keep hearing this book that somebody gave me when I was in seminary. The name of the book is Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the small stuff gets to me. And sometimes we have to be reminded, look at the big picture. Don't sweat the small stuff. Yes, we have to deal with disappointment with others, or circumstances like a delayed flight after I got there 3 hours early, but deal with it and get rid of it. Now, how about this one? This is the toughest one for me. I don't know about you. Disappointment in myself. The absolute toughest to deal with, knowing is that I disappointed somebody else and myself and God. I could resonate with what Paul just said that Trudy read. The very things I should do, I don't. The very things I don't do, I should be doing. So sometimes I'll do something I know I shouldn't do, and I know it the minute I do it. And I ask myself, why did you do that? Like getting angry on Sunrise Highway when somebody's doing 25 miles an hour in the fast lane. Just go around him, Chuck. Don't ride his bumper until he moves. And I'll say things like, stubborn. You're so stubborn. Move over. It's real. I'm disappointed myself many times. But you know what? We need to be more easy on ourselves, friends. And I'm not suggesting to excuse bad behavior. Getting on somebody's bumper because they won't move out of the fast lane is bad behavior. And I'm not excusing it. But sometimes when we blow it, be a little easy on yourself so that you could move on. Why? Because confess it right away. I wasn't right. Ask for forgiveness. Move forward. Learn from that mistake so you don't do it again, hopefully, and grow from that experience. Hopefully, that's what we could do with our disappointments. We can grow from the experience. Disappointments aren't always bad. Some of my most growth moments are because of the things I should have done and I didn't, and I learned from that experience. Now, I want to tell you that disappointment could be a dangerous place to reside. A place of disappointment is a dangerous place to remain in for too long. Why? Well, not just because it's a negative space, but because it leaves us wide open to be a target by the enemy. Now, I know some people don't believe in spiritual warfare and that there's an enemy of God. I do, okay? I believe in spiritual warfare. And so when I was in the military or I was in the police department, there was a tactic they taught, cover and concealment. Okay, the first thing you want to do if somebody's shooting at you, I would hope you realize this, you want to get cover. You want to conceal yourself. You want to be in the right position. You want to not be a target for the enemy to beat on you. And I think any soldier and any police officer understands that if they're worth their salt, that cover and concealment is an important part of tactics. Now, where am I going with this? I'm not suggesting that everybody drop under your pew right now. When we become disappointed, whether we are disappointed through life circumstances or other people or situations or even ourselves, it's usually accompanied by discouraging talk and a discouraged demeanor. We walk with our shoulders slumped over. We say, life stinks. Everything stinks. These are horrible times we're living in. And by doing so, we're communicating our position to the enemy. And because of a weak position, we become very vulnerable for spiritual attack. Now, the Bible says the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour or to destroy. You see, the enemy knows our disappointments by our words that we speak or the demeanor that we show. And that disappointment has an opportunity to develop into division with God and others, discouragement, depression, defeat, destruction in our relationships and our lives. And that's why Peter, in the following verse, says, resist him and stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in your faith. It's because of who we are, not because of who we are in Christ, not because of who we are as a person, to stand in our faith. It doesn't mean we have faith in ourselves or others or our status in life or our possessions or our connections. It's because we have faith in God we could stand firm and resist the enemy. The Bible says Satan is like a roaring lion. And I want to tell you something. When that roaring lion goes up against the Lion of Judah, he sounds more like a kitty meowing than a growling lion. Always remember your position. The metaphor of a lion is a good one. Have you ever watched Nature Channel or Wild Kingdom and you see how lions hunt? They look like that. In fact, my neighbor's cat looks like that. My neighbor's cat is always hunting for field mice. Does a real good job of it too. But they hide. They move in a sleek way. They go undercover. And they stalk. And do you ever notice what a lion stalks? Who a lion stalks? If you look at water buffaloes and other prey, they're usually looking for the elderly, or they're looking for the young. They're looking for the ones left behind. They're looking for the wounded. They're looking for the ones that they could catch. And the enemy of God is prowling in the same way as that image up there, looking for someone who's disappointed, discouraged, wounded, and vulnerable, so that he can attack and start to put negative thoughts into our being. But once we take up a good defensive position, friends, we can then go on a good offense and attack and put that enemy down. Satan has no control over us. I'm reminded of a story by our former bishop, Bishop Jeremiah Park, who grew up in a rural village in South Korea. And he says every time he came home from school, a rooster would chase him. He was little. He's still little, actually. And the rooster would attack him. And he'd run in the house crying. And the father one day came out of his study. His father was a pastor. The father said, "What's the matter, Jeremiah? That rooster always attacks me when I come home from school." He says, "You go out there and stare that rooster down." And so he very sheepishly walked out. And he looked that rooster in the eyes. And that rooster started backing up. And he puffed his chest out a little more, took a few more steps forward, only to realize his father was standing behind him. That rooster was afraid of his dad. And God stands behind us in the same way, to push back and push down and move out of our lives the enemy who tries to destroy us. That's who God is. There's these negative thoughts that start to roam around in your head that you're never going to make it. You're a failure. You blew it again. God's never going to forgive you. You'll never be close to God again because of what you did. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Don't ever believe that. We're all going to blow it. We're all going to disappoint God, others, and ourselves. But we don't leave it there. Because God doesn't want us to leave it there. Stop for a moment, take a breath, and say, "You know what? You're a liar, and I do not receive this in the name of Christ." The best defense is a good offense. So, church, look at this one. Greater is he who's in you than he's in the world. Jeremiah Park's dad standing behind him and staring that rooster down. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Friends, don't let circumstances get you down like a delayed flight. Don't let other people get you down who've disappointed you in your life. Don't get down because you have disappointed yourself. Don't do that. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." There's a spiritual battle going around as well. So it can be circumstances, it could be other people, it could be ourselves, or it could be a spiritual realm of stuff that's going on. But I want you to understand, you are victorious in Jesus Christ. Amen. All things are possible when it comes to him. You are more than a conqueror in him. And there's no way you can be defeated when you take that position. And so, yesterday is gone. You cannot bring back yesterday. Church, remember that. It's gone. All the things you did are over with. They're done with. And yesterday, and tomorrow hasn't come yet. So make a difference today. Say, "Today it's going to be different. Today I'm going to put my disappointments behind me. All the things I may have done or what people have done to me, I'm going to choose today to be happy. I'm going to choose today to treat people right. I'm going to choose today to forgive those who have hurt me. And I'm going to choose today to perhaps ask others who I hurt to forgive me. And I'm going to press on. And I'm going to make something of today. And I'll worry about tomorrow when it comes." Folks, be easy on yourself, because God is. Be easy on other people, because God is easy on you. Learn how to live in that realm, and your life will become this incredible story that hasn't been written yet. In Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I just want to pray for us here this morning. We've all been disappointed. We've all fought those things in our lives. But today we're victorious because of your mercy, your love, your grace, your forgiveness that never ends, even when we mess up. So Paul said, the very things I should do, I don't. The very things I don't do, I should. And yet he lived a life for you. And you used him in a mighty way, just like you're going to use us, to make our world a better place. And it starts with us moving out into the world we live in. Teach us how to be more kind toward others, more loving, more understanding, more forgiving, just as we seek to receive your love and your forgiveness. Make this day a great day. And when tomorrow comes, we'll repeat that behavior again. As we ask for your help in this regard, in Jesus' name, amen.